Good morning. Well, we haven't made a talk since our series of spiritual classes at the Heart Center here in North Carolina. And I wasn't really planning on one today until I woke up and saw the wisdom, which I posted to the Yahoo group online. And when I read a couple of paragraphs in the Infinite Way book, it seemed to have the same, it seemed to be pushing me to say something, so here I am saying something. The wisdom I'm speaking of was the wisdom number 81, and it says, "To those unfolding on the spiritual path come the discordant experiences of human life. Until the transition from this world has been completely accomplished, the desire to avoid or escape these inharmonies of mind, body, or economic affairs, that's the desire, but this cannot be done since the discords result solely from the battle with the spirit and the flesh, that is, the battle with spiritual consciousness and material sense." Alright, so what does that mean? That means if you're having difficulties, you've been on this path for a while, and you're advancing, but you're still having difficulties, it's because of something called the battle between the spirit and the flesh. And it ties in exactly with what I was reading this morning. For my meditation, I'd like to pick up this original Infinite Way book, because as Joel says, there is the entire message of the Infinite Way is in one line or one paragraph, and later he expanded it into other books. So I like to use this, and this morning I was looking at the chapter called Our Real Existence, and the very first line says, "Our real existence is as spirit." Now that means we are incorporeal spiritual being. Now let's look that up. Hold on a minute and I will get my dictionary. Okay, incorporeal, number one. Not corporeal, not having a material body or form, not consisting of matter. Alright, number two, existing only in contemplation of law, not capable of actual visible seeing or possession. Alright, it's not tangible. So, that tells us that the dictionary doesn't know a lot about incorporeality. Because you have an incorporeal Christ identity, and that Christ identity has an incorporeal form, very much so. But getting back to this, our real existence is as spirit. Only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit do we drop the false sense of life as material. So, right there, it should set off an alarm, a bell, something inside of you should say, well, then that's what I need to do. If I really don't want these inharmonies, I have got to have a consciousness, a conscious awareness of my own incorporeal Christ being. He says we must remember we're not called upon to heal or change or alter or correct this material sense of existence. We are first of all to realize it exists only as illusion. And we know, since no illusion is ever externalized, it exists only in the mind. From this vantage point in consciousness, we behold through spiritual sense the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So there's a clue, because if you're beholding a temple not made with hands, or a temple not made with mind, or a body not made with mental images, then you're looking right at your incorporeal self. All right. Now, getting back to our wisdom for the day, this agrees with it right here. Be a beholder, a witness. Watch the unveiling of the Christ in your consciousness. There is a constant warfare between the flesh and the spirit, and this will continue as long as you entertain any degree of corporeal sense. Well, now let's be honest. We are all entertaining certain degrees of corporeal sense. But if that's all you entertain, if that's all you live in, then you're living in this world. You're living as the natural creature. And the structural universe, the entire structural universe, is not under the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And so if you're living in a material sense of self, anything can happen to that self. When I was a child, I liked to read the Encyclopedia Britannica. And we had a set, and I would look at the articles and read them and look at the pictures, and it was fascinating. There was a whole giant world out there. As a child, it was fascinating. And one of the things I came across was a picture of a lady in her bed, and right about in the thigh area was a big old burn. Well, what happened? She was laying and watching TV, and a meteor came crashing through the roof of her house and hit her in the leg. Now, what are the odds of that? They have to be astronomical. At any rate, the picture proved that she was living in a material sense of self, which is not under the law and the protection and the love of the Father. Because the photograph was a photograph of mental images. It was a photograph of Adam's concepts. It was a photograph of a natural man. Photograph of this world. Now, what do we do about it? What am I supposed to do? I don't want these discordant, inharmonious experiences. Well, Joel tells you what to do. He says you have to first realize it exists as illusion. All of it. Remember in the New Horizon? The good and the bad. Let's look at it. All right. Here he's telling you how to catch a glimpse of your incorporeal self. He says with the realization... The realization that the entire human scene, its good and its evil, is illusion. When you have that realization at depth, inside, in your meditation, something in you lets go. You have found the silence. You're not seeking good or evil anymore. You're not trying to make one into the other. And when you have that realization, then comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the Son of God, which you are. All right, so the attempt to bring spirit and its laws to bear upon material concepts constitutes the war between the flesh and the spirit. And peace can only come, this is a hard saying here, you will only have peace from these inharmonious experiences when the structural sense of the universe and the corporeal sense of man has been overcome. Well, you say, has anyone ever done it? Yes, I can think of two right off. Christ Jesus saying, most definitely to his students, his disciples, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I did it. And I can think of another named Joel, the Christ of Joel, which said very definitely in print, it's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it. And the suggestion there, the hint is that we must do the same. Well, you say, how? How do I do that? I mean, let's be honest. I love my wife. What is she? She's a lady. She has a body and a mind. I respect her mind and the intelligence. She has a soul and a spiritual consciousness. I respect that too. The wisdom that flows out of her is outstanding. But if all I see is her body and her intellect and her personal love, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because the day is going to come when I lose that. It disappears because it never was eternal to begin with. It disappears. And now I'm sitting here by myself, boo-hoo, I'm all alone. I mean, after 30 years of marriage, almost, I can see the day will come. One of us will leave here first from visible sight. Well, if that's all I know about her, all I know about her is an illusion. I just may be in love with an illusion. Now, these are things we have to look at. We have to deal with them. And they're not nice to look at. We don't want to look at that. The entire human scene, good and evil, is illusion, says Joel. I have overcome the entire human scene, says Jesus. And John, he too was able to look at the incorporeal creation. The Word became flesh, and we beheld the glory of the Father. See? We have to do the same. We're following in their footsteps. And so we have to grapple with these things. We have to struggle with them. And I had a lady tell me, she said, oh, I can't do that. I just can't do that right now. She was celebrating the birth of a grandchild, and she was all wrapped up in it, and I opened my mouth when I probably shouldn't have and said, you know, all of this is an illusion, and we shouldn't get caught up and focused on the structural sense of the universe, and she was somewhat alarmed, which is when I realized, oh, maybe I should have kept quiet. And she said, I can't do that. I know it sounds scary. What's going to replace it? Well, you don't know. And I don't know. Until I begin to suspect that it's the way out. It's the way to freedom, peace, harmony, joy, and life in the Father. This is the way. We must realize all of it is an illusion. Now, that doesn't mean we do like some of the, well, like my friend down in Florida, my Indian friend from India, and say, well, it's all illusion. I'm not going to do anything but party and take it easy because, ha-ha, it's an illusion. That won't do it for you. You're still stuck in that illusion until you awaken. And you have to put in the work to awaken. Sometimes it appears as if somebody sits in the presence of a master and the master touches them on the forehead and boom, they suddenly awaken. But I guarantee you that's not the case. The case is they've put in the work, but they put in the work perhaps in a past existence. And so they're ready for that final initiation. But for us to be if we're ever going to be ready for that final initiation, we have got to put in the work. And so we've got to look at these things. And the questions come. How do you... All I see is a structural universe. When we're starting out, that's the truth, isn't it? I see her physical form. I listen to her speak. I feel her emotions, her intellect. But that's all I see. I see this house. I see the dresser. Here's a table. Here's a body. Yes, these are structural forms. I've got to come to the place where I see that every one of them is one of Adam's concepts and have no external existence. Well, then how do I see? Well, how do I put them aside so I can see correctly? How do I see the incorporeal universe? How do I see the incorporeal self of her? How do I see the incorporeal supply, incorporeal life? How do I see this temple not made with concepts, this spiritual temple, eternal in the heavens? Well, we've been told. How many times did Joel tell us over and over and over, you must go into meditation. You must remain receptive. All right. Why do we have to be receptive? Why? It's because he utters his voice and I awaken. You can't come to... Well, you can come to the intellectual agreement with these principles, but it will not, you won't be able to say, I have overcome the world. You cannot awaken yourself. As you study the Infinite Way writings, well, Joel says again, truth is shocking, and I agree with that 100%, because you'll be reading along quite merrily and suddenly something will hit you and you sort of say, oh my God, is that, did I? And you go back and you look at it again and then you're reminded of something else you read and things start to click and you see what you didn't see before. And then if you are wise, I'm going to say, let us be still. This is the incorporeal Christ self that I am conscious of right now. If we are wise, we take what we just read into our meditation, into our closet. We ponder it in secret until we have the experience that I just had, where we feel that presence, the presence of our own incorporeal Christ self. I live, yet not I. Incorporeal Christ self is in my awareness, and it is living here. And that's the real I. That's the I, not made by concepts, eternal in the heavens. All right, so we're reading along quite happily, and we see something that says, the human mind is the world mind, and everything passing through the human mind is a echo of world mind. And we're reading along, and suddenly, what? Wait a minute. Does that really... All of my thoughts are not my thoughts? Then suddenly, oh yes, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Who is this Lord? Something up in space? Something from the ancient past? No, this Lord is your incorporeal Christ self. My incorporeal Christ thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, I want your thoughts. Your thoughts free me from concepts, images. So how? I have to be receptive to your thoughts. Well, how do I do that? I go back to the books. They have the answer. I go back to the books. I look at The Art of Meditation. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to read along here until something hits me and take it into my closet and contemplate it until I reach a state of stillness, a state of receptivity. I'm open. I'm listening. I may even say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Father, speak. But in one way or another, I indicate my receptivity, and I stand stock still. Now, there's a lot of ways to do this. We've played with it in the past. You can say, stop. You can say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You can say, reveal thyself. I'm speaking to my own incorporeal Christ self. Reveal thyself. But the point is that he utters his voice and I awaken. It's not he uttered his voice and all these things were overcome. It's not a battle at all. When he utters his voice, I awaken to reality. And it may be just a glimpse, like he says in the New Horizon. The first glimpse comes with the recognition that all the good and the evil are illusion. When you see that at depth and it brings you to a point of silence, your mind is shocked. The world mind comes to a standstill in you, then you're receptive to his voice. And I just have to return again to Mary, because she was looking for a physical Jesus Christ. Where have you taken my Lord? That's not her Christ at all. If I go not away, you'll never find it. So he went away. So much so that she didn't even see the Christ standing next to her until he uttered his voice, Mary. And she saw Master Christ. She saw the incorporeal Christ self. She looked right into the invisible within her being. You can't see the Christ out here. There is no Christ out here. The Christ out here is the Christ in your being, because you will learn that In him we live and move and have our being. So to see the Christ, you're seeing it in your being. All right, so it is absolutely imperative that you find your way. It could be different from my way. It could be different from Joel's or even Jesus's. It might be the Buddha way, with contemplation and meditation, that this world is Maya, and that the cessation of all desire brings a silence in which realization takes place, or he utters his voice and you awaken. These are the same things. But whatever way you take, take it. Grapple with these things. Struggle with them. Ask questions if you have to. And don't be afraid. You're never going to dissolve. Never. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Did Jesus dissolve so there was no more Jesus there? No, he was transformed, which Paul tells you you need to do. Be ye transformed. And let's look at that. I want to see that. Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. This is the language, the new tongue, telling us that he's lifting them into a high consciousness, a consciousness that sees beyond the structural concepts, into the spiritual creation, here, now. He bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. You see that? They are looking at the incorporeal, well, are they looking at the incorporeal spiritual form of Jesus? If you say yes, you're mistaken. There is no incorporeal form of a man. They were beholding the one incorporeal, invisible, infinite spiritual light form, light body, which is Christ, which is I am Christ. And they were beholding the one Christ of all of us. There is one, Joel says, one infinite Christ, one infinite body, one incorporeal spiritual creation. And I am that. But the words do nothing for you. We must awaken to the actual experience. And this we do first by recognizing that it must be done. And second, by grappling with all these things that make us very uncomfortable, which is why I made a set of talks called the Uncomfortable Talks. Then, when we've grappled with that, and we've come to a place of acceptance, this is my path, this is what I must do, then we come to the next difficulty, which is that we realize we cannot pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We cannot lift ourselves into a high mountain, a high consciousness. We must rely on grace. Grace. Joel tells it in the beginning of every single Infinite Way book. The illumined, that is, those aware of this, those that have the consciousness of this incorporeal self, the illumined walk without fear by grace. And so we come to a point where we say it's going to take grace. I don't have it. In the past I've begged God for it, and it hasn't happened. What am I missing? I can't tell you the number of times I've said that. For those four words, what am I missing? And I go back to where I feel led, to perhaps one of the Infinite Way books, maybe to the Bible. And I read. I've even gone back to the Gita and read in there what Arjuna had to do, because I want to have the answer. Bhagavad Gita. Beautiful in there. So, also the Advaita Vedanta, some that one too. Or Advaita Vedanta, I mean. Okay, so, it doesn't matter. The principles are the same. All right? So I go back. What am I missing? I go back and I search and I struggle and I grapple with it. Oh, here it is. I don't like it. So what? So what? You have to die. What do you mean? You have to die daily. What? Some part of your day has to be spent in the conscious awareness, the feeling of the incorporeal Christ form. I told you a little while ago, it was passing right through me as we were talking, which is why I said, let us be still. I'm going to do that from now on. All right? Ha ha, very funny. So it comes again. Let us be still. And this is the incorporeal Christ self, Christ identity. It's mine. I am that I am. I am that I. And if you are hearing these words, you can say the same thing to yourself. I am that I am. I am that I. Some part of your day must be spent in the consciousness of this. And then when you do, when you feel that presence is it uttering its voice. It's the real Christ. And when it utters its voice, you awaken. And some part of the corporeal, I'm not going to say creation, because it's not a creation, it's a series of beliefs. But some part of the structural universe, that which is appearing as the structural universe, begins to fade away. And it fades away, what, by your much work? No. It fades away by your much receptivity, so you can feel that presence of your own incorporeal Christ self, Christ identity. Or you can hear the still small voice of your Christ identity saying, I, in the midst of thee, am God. Trust me, if you hear that within, you will awaken. But it doesn't last. It's not good. It's not great to say, well, this is good now. I've made it. I've arrived. It's going to be here for the rest of my life. Right there, you have a little problem. Because the rest of your life is the rest of a structural existence, which is supposed to be dying. Joel says emphatically, it must be renewed throughout the day, because the hypnotism, the beliefs in a structural universe, the world mind saying things in your mind, it hypnotizes you, and you say, oh, look at that home. It's so beautiful on the beach. Oh, look at her. She's a 10. Look at him. How strong he looks. Look at these exercise machines and these vitamins and this nutritional drink. And, oh, look at all these pills can make me stronger and Now, I'm not saying exercise is wrong. Don't hear that. I'm saying if that's all you see, you're hypnotized. Because right here, right in the midst of all of this, is something called an invisible, incorporeal life not made with hands. And it's your life. And it's mine. And Joel tells us we're able to look into this spiritual creation and see the children of God governed by love. Now, when you touch the center by becoming consciously aware of it through your receptivity within to its voice, you are governed by love. Love and grace are the same. It's not that God loves a human you. It's that you're resting in the sea of love. And it begins to live your life. I live yet not I. Grace liveth my life. Love liveth my life. Now you begin to catch glimpses of incorporeal supply appearing as many forms, many gifts. You begin to see incorporeal love appearing as the right her or the right him. It's a match made in heaven, literally. And there's no fight anymore. You don't have to make your marriage work. You have to be honest. You have to discuss things. Sometimes you compromise, sure. But you're both living by these spiritual principles, and it is made in heaven. How wonderful it is. And you look back on the relationships that you put together, that world mind put together. Oh my God, what a struggle they were. Wow. You begin to catch glimpses of incorporeal life, being your life, giving you the power to do what needs to be done today, giving you something called synchronicity, so you're in the right place at the right time. I had a day like that yesterday. I took the children out to give Madeline the day off. And I took them out, and we spent time at Walmart so they could spend their allowance. And then we went over to Taco Bell. And then we went over to Best Buy where they could play with things. Anyway, we just spent the day and took it easy. And we were in that flow of synchronicity. The meditation was great that morning, and it resulted in incorporeal Christ liveth my life. And we were in the right place at the right time. We went into Walmart. We did a little shopping. They spent their allowance. And then we could see that there were storms on the way. Well, we didn't. There's nothing you could do about it. We got in the car. Well, I mean, there is, but that's another lesson. We got in the car and we drove over to Taco Bell, and we pulled in. We went inside, ordered our meal, sat down, and the storm broke. And we're looking out the window, totally dry, and the rain's, it's raining sideways because the wind's blowing. And it's coming down in sheets. You know what that's like. Torrential rains. And we're just enjoying our meal. We weren't stuck in it. We weren't stuck in the traffic in it. We were safely and warm, just riding that synchronicity. I love it when that happens. This is how it is when you're moving and witnessing a temple not made by mind, a life made by consciousness, by Christ. Okay, I'm going to take a moment, be still, just to see if there's something else, because I feel like I've already given the entire talk, and it's only been 40 minutes. So let's just be still for a couple of minutes. don't turn it off. I'm not going to be talking. I'm going to be receptive. Yes, I live, yet not I. Incorporeal, invisible Christ. What comes to me is Peter, good old Peter. he's every man, I think. Anyway, Peter, Christ says, Peter, who do you say I am? Peter looks. The Master uttered his voice. Christ uttered his voice. Peter awakened. Thou art the living Christ, the Son of the living God. He saw the incorporeal Christ. Right then, he was receptive. But later, this Christ is explaining that I'm going to show the entire universe that death is also an illusion, just as birth is an illusion. You don't exist in that. You entertain that. It's a false sense coming between you and your real identity. And I'm going to show you that too can be overcome, because I'm going to show you what happens when you're standing in a temple not made by mind. A temple eternal now in the heavens. On all planes, it's eternal. Incorporeal spiritual identity. Yours, mine, his, hers, its. One Son of the living God, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten. There's only one Son, and it is every one. It is the infinite. It is the eternal. It is your Christ identity. Infinite, yet individualized. It's fabulous. So he says, Peter, I have to go prove that there's no such thing as death, and I'm going to let them capture me, and I'm going to let them kill me, and then in 3 days I will appear and show you that there's no such thing as death. Now, Peter's not looking at that invisible Christ at that moment. He's looking at the physical man, which he calls his master. Oh, no, be that far from thee. What does this Christ say in response to the world mind? Get thee behind me, Satan. That's one of those things when you read it, it's somewhat shocking. But he does that a lot. He doesn't respond with human sympathy. We expect him to. What about the man that goes to him and says, and he says, follow me. This is the Christ speaking. He's uttering his voice. The man has a chance to awaken, but the man is in world thought. He's very wrapped up in it emotionally. He says, I want to follow you, but I have to go bury my father. He just died. Now, what does the Christ say? The incorporeal Christ of his being. Now, it's not Jesus out here. It's appearing as Jesus out here, but it's the incorporeal Christ of his being, your being, my being, Jesus' being, the one Son of God. What does it say in response to this poor, pitiful guy? Is it caught up in the drama of the world mind? Hey, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. In other words, let the illusion exist. You leave it alone. You follow the Christ of your identity, the incorporeality of your own being. So you see, it has this Christ of you. It has an entirely different set of values than world mind does. You would expect it to appreciate Peter's sympathy, you know, and say something like, "Oh, it's okay, Peter. It just needs to be done. Really, I'll be okay." No, does he sink to that level? No. He has a message for Peter. Get thee behind me, world mind. I'm doing this. I'm proving you don't have power in my presence. Does he have sympathy for the other fellow? Oh, okay, I understand. God bless you. You go ahead and bury your father, and I'll wait. No, heck no. You let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me. Your own incorporeal Christhood is calling. So now you must know, once and for all time, my friends, there is no external God. There's no external Christ. If you've had the experience of, maybe you've had a vision of Christ standing in your room. Maybe you had a vision of Joel or Herb. There was a fellow one time told me he had a vision of me, of Bill. Once and for all time, I'm going to take your Lord away. You're going to have to be receptive until you awaken to the real Lord. There is no Lord out there, and there's no Lord in the past. Nor will there be one in the future. The only God there is, the only Christ there is your very own incorporeal Christ self. The I in the midst of me. I am the way. What is the truth? I am the truth. What is my life? I am the life. Have I been so long a time with you, and thou hast not known me? Be willing to see the good and the evil dissolve, so that you might look behind the curtain and behold your own incorporeal Christ identity. Be willing to let the flesh go. Be willing to die out of that series of concepts. Be willing to become so silent, so still, so stopped, that you are total receptivity, listening, feeling, beholding, watching, witnessing, experiencing the infinite, eternal, invisible, incorporeal Christ. Here is where the Lord is. Ever here within you, I stand at the door and knock. He told you, your own Christ told you, not a man. The Christ of Jesus, the Christ of you, Susan, is the same Christ. stand at the door and knock. Open! Open! I will come in. You will become consciously aware. You will be lifted up into a high mountain apart, where you can witness the transfiguration of yourself. And since it is upon me again, let us be still. One final thing today. Remember, the warfare between the spirit and the flesh is because we try to get spirit to manifest in this false creation, this universe made by thought, the structural universe appearing to us. We try to get God to manifest there. And I know it's very hard. I know this is difficult. When I had my toe turn black, it hurt so bad, and I wasn't taking any painkillers. It hurt so bad that it was impossible to meditate. I know this. I know when this happens. You're totally focused on the structural universe. How are you ever going to catch a glimpse? Well, you're going to ask others to help you. Please lift me up, not me the person, lift up the Christ, and recognize it is where I am. And then when you get rid of this problem, whether you end up going to the doctor or having surgery, whatever you get on the other side of it, or whether it's healed, which is beautiful when that happens, as long as you don't think that that's Christ's job, is to heal your physical body. But when you get on the other side of it, however you get there, go back to this talk here. Find the principles that have been suggested and apply them until you yourself come into the conscious awareness, the conscious feeling, the consciousness of your own infinite, invisible, incorporeal, eternal Christ self. And the same with your finances, and the same with your companionship, or lack of it. Try first to find the spiritual answer, but if you can't, because you can't concentrate, you're so wrapped up in it, then ask for help. And when you are on the other side of it, whether you eventually give up and go get a physical remedy, or take and find a way to manufacture some money, or just decide for a while you're going to be alone and not have a companion. However it is that you get on the other side of this, get there so you can go back to practicing the principles of turning within, being receptive, even if it takes 800 times. Turning in and being receptive until there's an inner movement and you become consciously aware of Christ, but not a Christ 2,000 years ago, the living Christ, the Word made flesh and uttering its voice, and you become consciously aware of it, and there's nothing you can do but be still. And then watch the glorious ways in which the Word appears as form. First, you caught a glimpse of the invisible spiritual form, the infinite eternal form, the incorporeal form. You caught it in your meditation. You actually felt it. Then it appears as if it's forming itself out here. But it's the invisible form filtering into your concepts. Now they're better concepts. That's okay, that's progress. Don't worry about it. But don't focus on the concepts. And don't be grateful for the concepts. I don't mean if somebody gives you a gift of $1,000, you're not grateful. But what I do mean is take it back within and recognize its source. The source is that incorporeal spiritual supply, emanating, shining out from the conscious awareness you had of incorporeal spiritual Christ. That's what we're grateful for. Okay? So these things must be practiced, and they must be practiced until we have the conscious awareness of them. And this is how we, this is the answer to the question, how do we become aware of our spiritual identity? How do we become aware of Christ? This is the answer to how do we come to the end of suffering and the end of that spiritual warfare between the flesh and the spirit. This is the answer to the how do we get the consciousness of my life as spirit, the creation as spiritual creation, the companion as that which lives forever, the life as that which is eternal and infinite and invisible and incorporeal, the supply as invisible spiritual substance emanating from my own being. This is how you do it. This is how I do it. This is how Joel did it. And I read that Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, went away and meditated for 30 days at a time. So this is how he did it. What we follow is the infinite. And this is the infinite way. So now you know the real secret. The infinite way is not a little Jewish guy that went around and gave talks 50 or 60 years ago, or 70 years ago even. The Infinite Way is not an organization in California, which used to be in Arizona. The Infinite Way is not a series of books that are put out by Acropolis. The Infinite Way is not a series of tapes and CDs put out by the Joel Goldsmith website. Now you have the secret known by very few, I tell you. The infinite way is your own incorporeal, invisible, eternal, infinite spiritual self called I, Christ. I am the infinite way. Thank you, Father. Yes, I say Father sometimes, and by that I mean my source. Okay? All right. Love you. Talk to you again. Blessings.